All right, which one should we start with?
Well, I feel like we definitely, despite our best efforts, I don't know about our best efforts, but
they're so different in color that it's no way. Yeah, like there's no way to not know which one is yours.
It's very clear.
Like I could mix them up and you would
not
still
giving anything
never
away.
Know.
Probably giving a lot away. Once you smell mine, the one that I bought, there's not going to be any confusion. Like, oh, which one's the one? So color and smell.
All right, I'll start with this one.
Okay. But that's cool. We don't know which ones.
No, we don't know what they are.
Yeah.
I mean, I know what mine is, but.
Now, as I recall, the goal was to get something interesting.
Yeah, right? I recorded it so we can check the tape. I think I said, like, blow my friends away. Like, I wanted to, like, knock their socks off.
Okay. All right. I definitely leaned heavy on the interesting side.
I think Billy did too.
I was like, it doesn't have to be good. It just has to be unique. And he was like, okay.
Oh gosh. You went there.
So that's what we're about to have. I can smell it. Or maybe that's the, I can't tell if it's the brisket that I'm smelling or the,
brisket's up there now. I think it's in the fridge.
Oh, okay. Oh, I can smell it then.
Well, that's good.
It smells very woodsy. Billy has returned.
What? He's not dead. He's
he
not
lives.
Dead.
He successfully refed the meter.
What are you doing?
So we have poured the lightest of the three.
Yeah, we poured the light one. Billy's back.
What's up, guys?
It's got right. like this delightful kind of. Thank you, Jack.
All right.
There's your microphone.
Ooh, and we're. Oh, man, I can smell it from here.
Give me a talkie, Billy.
I didn't have his microphone the last time I was on the show, right? Or did I? No, it was set up.
It was
on
set
a stand.
Up. Yeah, so you didn't have to hold it.
That's right.
Sorry, now you have to hold it.
So we've already come to the conclusion that we're not going to be confused about which one is our own.
They're all so different colors.
They look so different.
That's true, but I don't know. Yeah, I could easily confuse the other ones, but I definitely know which one is mine.
Yeah.
Okay. This one.
It's potent.
Initial thoughts? Initial.
It smells like apple.
Apple?
That's exactly what I was thinking. And this is not
like candied apple?
This is not the Chris Rett suggestibility thing. That was literally the next word out of my mouth. So concur.
Yeah. It smells sweet.
Yeah.
Does smell very sweet. We have some sipping.
It's Ooh. Almost sour. It's almost like, I don't know if it's because you said apple, but like it's got this like, it's
yeah.
like undercurrent
no, it's,
of sour.
I granted my first drink of the day, but that was a punch in the face. Like,
yeah.
There is a, man, I think it's good though. I feel pretty confident saying it's an Irish whiskey. There's no smoke to it.
Agreed.
And it is sweet.
It is sweet.
Like it's very sweet. Yeah, I feel confident.
Bubblegum sweet or like
no,
natural
like,
sweet or unnatural
like
sweet?
Like apple sweet. Like okay, if I like, just like bit into a really good juicy apple that was a little bit too tart for my liking, yeah. it would be this whiskey.
So it's like green apple.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think it's sweeter than a green apple, but it definitely has that like thing on the back of your tongue.
I like have to get my head back in this game.
Not like tartness. Mm-hmm.
It's got, yeah. Oh, yeah. The like aftertaste is all sugar.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's like, I think it starts with like minerality and then it like goes into this like wave of sugar.
Ooh. Yeah. It reminds me of like Green Spot a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
What does minerality mean?
I literally think of licking rocks.
Oh, okay.
Like,
yeah.
as a kid, like, I think of, like, a limestone or a sandstone, and you, like, literally lick it.
You and I had different childhoods.
Yeah. That's what the Iowa boy does.
You didn't have the limestone licking thing?
Definitely not. To have the limestone, I just didn't put it in my mouth.
I'm curious, are we breaking the law right now by eating outdoors and drinking whiskey outdoors in a courtyard?
Private property.
Yeah,
you're allowed to do that. Sure. Okay. Although I did one time sit about I don't know, 50 yards away from here and listen to someone try and convince a police officer that this was a park because Google Maps had it labeled as a park, and therefore the ADA applied, and therefore he could have his neighbor arrested for getting mad at him.
I remember that.
Yeah, it was not a compelling legal argument. but it was highly entertaining.
That's awesome. That's great.
Yep. So if that guy was here, he would arrest you. But I also saw him fall out of that window, so I don't know that he was really a threat.
Or a cop, for that matter.
Right.
So there's something that this is reminding me of, and I, of course, have no clue.
Oh, you don't? It just reminds you of something that you've had?
I mean, it definitely reminds me of a whiskey I've had in the past, but now that I've had...
I think Green Spot is interesting. Like, it's in that Irish...
Mm-hmm.
Like,
is that an Irish whiskey? Yeah.
Yep. It's one of my more favorite Irish whiskeys. Yeah. It would really make me laugh, and it would be very appropriate if this were Jameson. Like, that would be the funniest bottle to have gotten.
Now we have to do a prank episode.
I know. That's what it reminds me of.
Like, this would have been the funniest bottle to have gotten.
That would have been the time. Now
really
been the time.
Sad that I didn't think of it until this moment.
I literally was obsessed with talking to someone and getting a recommendation that I didn't think it would be even better to just, like, get a cheap-ass joke bottle.
Yeah.
Especially that's the brilliant one that everyone talks about on every episode,
that's
right?
That's true.
I think that, like, initial punch in the face was in great part due to just it being the first
for sure
whiskey of the day. Like, it's mellowing out a lot for me at this point.
I enjoy that, but I like sweet whiskey.
Like, a lot. It's good. Like, it's an interesting mix. It's like, it's got that sort of aggressively tart or aggressively sour beginning, but then with the wave of sugar, it's almost like apple pie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely like it's grainy.
Yes,
like I get a lot of grain in it, which makes the apple pie like a good reference because you get the bread and the crust.
Yeah, it's great.
I don't know,
I love it.
It's not like the most interesting whiskey I've ever tasted. Like, I don't have a lot to say about it.
Yeah,
but it's good.
Yeah,
yeah, I dig it too. So fellas, it's been a while since we've recorded
together.
Earlier.
Oh, hey.
Hey, Ron.
Hello.
How you doing?
Come on in.
Don't
want to disrupt
the recording. You want to join
please
us?
Please do.
I'll get you a glass.
All right.
Awesome. Let me get him a glass.
What do we got here? I'm Ryan, by the way.
Oh, Chris.
Chris, nice to meet you.
Good to meet you, man.
I gotta give Ryan a try of this thing and see what he thinks.
So Ryan's joining us. Ryan, who are you?
My name's Ryan. I am Billy's future brother-in-law.
That's right. And has been for like 12 years.
About 12 years. have been drinking whiskey with Billy for about that long as well.
Oh, nice.
Have, as of late, been drinking a lot more wine.
Oh, yeah?
But I'm interested to see, like, how the wine tasting world parallels with the whiskey tasting world.
Yeah.
But I'm a big whiskey drinker. I've been to Isla, done a bunch of single malts over there.
Oh, yeah.
Been to the Bourbon Trail in Kentucky, so very familiar, but haven't been as deep in it as of late.
And Ryan works in the wine world.
Wine world.
So I use his industry discount constantly. It's the best.
Smart man.
That's a good idea.
Oh, that's legit.
Oh, that smells really nice. So just... So I'm clear on how this works. We blind taste test all of them.
Yep.
Give it our best guess, and then reveal at the end.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Got it. Yeah.
And so the premise, the twist this week is that each of us went to the liquor store and recorded ourselves going, and so we have some recording of the interaction of the people we met and like got a recommendation and picked a whiskey, except for Billy.
That is true. I did not get a recommendation. I already told him I was mad at Wally's, and I didn't really want to talk to anybody at Wally's because all I was going to devolve into is like, why is your service so terrible? Why have you treated me so poorly?
Yeah.
Would it make a difference if I were obscenely wealthy? And that's our theory.
And the answer basically, to that is yes, it would.
Wally's has amazing service if you have $1 million.
Oh.
And otherwise, you're just a person that doesn't have $1 million.
Which is most persons.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of persons. It's a lot of persons I'm aware of.
What are your thoughts?
The color on this is really interesting. It's really light.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But I like it. It's great.
Yeah, there's definitely like a progression of urine through a night of drinking going on on the
table.
Yeah,
totally. Start off so hydrated, everything's fine as you go.
That's what it's going to look like by the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. Sweet, smooth, very easy to drink.
Yeah.
This whiskey is apple. This whiskey is...
Getting rubber tennis balls. Freshly with a can of rubber tennis balls.
I took a hose and I cut it. That's what I got.
No, it's delightful. I want very badly to compare it to something, but I have no idea. Like it's just reminding me of something very strongly, yep. And I have no clue what that is.
Is there a price threshold that's set to keep everyone in the same
Did
game?
Did we say? I can't even remember if we said.
I think we originally said like 40.
Okay.
Okay.
But then I think I ended up spending 50.
Yeah, I didn't pay attention to what you guys said. I just did what I wanted, so.
So if one is remarkably better than the others.
Then we'll know, maybe.
Although we have had times in this podcast where we've had really expensive bottles that did not go over super well.
It's very true.
That is true.
That reminds me. So the first, I think it was the first episode where we had that, the Whistle Pig Old World.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I had this experience where I was back in Columbia, Missouri, where I went to college, and there's this little wine bar shop. It's like a bottle shop that has a bar in it.
Mm-hmm.
And we went in at the end of the night of hanging out with all of my roommates, including Matt, who's been on the podcast. And the guy there was just like so happy that there were people that weren't college kids with discerning taste coming in that he just started like pouring us things. So we had like whatever the Pappy, not the Pappy, like Pappy before it's Pappy, it's like Pappy 16, where it's like the Rip Van Winkle.
Oh yeah, Old Rip or something.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And he was just pouring us a bunch of stuff, but we got to talking about the Old World and he was like, yeah, the problem with the Old World is there's nothing, there's no like flavor that stands out to it. It is just like a very one note whiskey.
Yeah.
And so while it's like really good, it's just not that interesting. And
yeah,
I was like, yeah, that's pretty good.
I think you and I were texting about that when you were having that experience. Yep. And I think you said to me, like, it's like buttered popcorn. It's great. But there's no other note.
Yep.
Like, it's just, that's it.
Yep. That is the one thing I remember about it.
Yes.
Yeah. It tasted like buttered popcorn.
Yeah.
Have you guys, I imagine, had Pappy? And if so, which ones have you had? And did any of them, like, stand out?
I think I had the, do you know the numbers?
It's 16, 18.
23?
I think it's 20 and 23.
Okay.
So I think the 16 is the, like, not quite Pappy, but like the bottle looks different.
Oh, I thought there was three and it was like 16, 18, 23 or something like that.
I think it's 18, 20, 23, but I don't know. I might be making this up.
Okay. I've had one of them and then like it, we bought it as a group for a friend who had a kid and I wasn't super into whiskey at the time. So I was just like, someone handed me this thing and it was like a big deal. I knew that much. It was great. And I think it was the 18, like whatever the middle one is, I think that's what it was.
So I just look back because I remember I posted on Instagram my bottle of Pappy because of course, and this one is a 15.
Yeah. Okay. So I think it goes 15, 18,
20,
20 or 23.
I'm pretty sure is the, cause I had it and I didn't like it as much as whatever the one underneath it was.
Right.
It was like super, like molasses custard. It's just like big and intense and richly sweet at that point and like a lot of oak flavor to it. But I don't know. That was also a long time ago before I knew what I was talking about and I still don't know what I'm talking about. So
Billy, if you don't know what you're talking about, then I don't even know what to say about myself. I haven't had any of them.
Mm.
None.
What'd you think of it when you had it?
I liked it. I remember, I mean, I think it's like with all things, like similar to like a really expensive bottle of wine where it's like you hype it up in your mind to be something amazing. It definitely was a really good whiskey. I remember my buddy, I think also like the way that we got it made it even more special.
Oh yeah.
So I was in North Carolina at the time and the way that they did it is it was only by lottery. So like through the ABC stores, which control the liquor sales there, you could like enter a lottery to get a bottle of it. And then my buddy who I worked with, he's actually from Kentucky, big bourbon guy. He got the bottle through the lottery.
Wow.
And so we drank it one night.
That's
and
cool.
So I think that added to like the mystique of it.
Oh, yeah.
It was, I mean, it was a great whiskey, hands down.
Yeah.
Super cool.
Yeah.
I would love to try it again now that I've had more things, but it just gets more expensive every year. And so
yeah.
It seems less and less likely.
Yeah.
The so I went to a Bell Mead tasting a couple weeks ago, and so Bell Mead, I learned, is they source all their whiskey from MGP, and then they do interesting finishes. But in the process, they're starting their own like own distillery, their own brand, and their first one is going to be a weeded Tennessee. So it's supposed to be really good. I don't know if it is good, but that's the
nice.
Supposed to be good.
That sounds really interesting.
Yeah, so this is kind of like an experimental episode.
Yeah.
Right? Like we're just kind
of... I like the format of everybody bringing a bottle because there's a cool element to that.
Yeah, I think it could be really fun.
Yeah.
I like the format of you guys buying three bottles and then me just showing up and drinking your three bottles.
Well, that's been Chris's life.
Also a good format. That's true. That has been my life. I just like show up and there's whiskey ready for me and I'm like, oh.
It's a nice thing.
How nice is that?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Brian, I think of you as someone who's always been into like booze and whatever. How did that start?
I don't know. That's a good question. I guess my dad's always a big drinker, been a big drinker. But like not in like a bad way, but in like a very fun way. You know what I mean? Like making it, you know, something that's enjoyable. And then my parents have always been into like nice wines, as Billy has known and benefited from.
Mm-hmm.
I think like that, it's like, it's a weird parable, but like, it reminds me of like, I used to sell shoes at Nordstrom back in the day as like a job in college. And like, once you like learn about the world of nice shoes, like you can't go back to buying. Like you can't, you just aren't like, and the same, I think is like, has been like my experience in like the whiskey and wine world. It's like, once you like, are aware of it either through a friend or a family member or something, like it's hard to go back if you like enjoy it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's something you enjoy and are interested in, it's hard to go back. So I think like, probably started there and then just become a very expensive habit.
Kidding.
Yeah, for sure.
How about you guys?
I think for me it was like just I think you nailed it. Like I just started learning and then it was like the more I learned the more I wanted to try and then the more I tried the more I wanted to try. Like it was just snowballed. It was just like, oh, well I've had Highland. Now I want to try this. And then I've had this and I want to try this. And then I have Isla and I want to have that. Like, and then you just go around the all of Scotland and you're like, oh, Irish exists. Oh, this exists. Oh. And then you just like, there's so much variety.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. Like that desire to try things you haven't had. Ryan has this really cool bottle of, I forget what it is. I always refer to it as Port Charlotte. And it's gotten like tons of awards and I walked past it at Wally's the other day and it's going for like $125 a bottle.
Yeah.
And I was like, why have I not tried this? And I know why, is because whenever we're over there, I'm always trying to not be hammered drunk because there are so many good things that I'm not like, let me go out of my way to get another thing.
Yeah.
But ever since I like thought about that again, I'm like sitting there like, I really want that. I really want that.
Yeah.
I really want that.
It exists and it's open and it's waiting for you at the house. So.
That's right. Yeah, I think Irish whiskey, probably not a like incredibly highly regarded one. It's not like super interesting enough, but it's like well made. I don't know.
Okay.
Like I would drink that again. I probably wouldn't buy that bottle.
Okay.
I think that's a good question. Would you like after this? Would you be like, what is that? I want to go buy that because I want that in my collection.
Yeah.
I guess in the next question, the follow-up to that is the price point in which you would buy it.
Oh, yeah. That's a good...
So, like, if you were to buy this, how much would you pay for it?
Yeah. Well, so, that question, though, doesn't mean anything to me. Because if I like it...
Oh, yeah. You don't live in a world where money matters.
Well, it's not so much... If it's, like, $150, I'm not buying it regardless of what it is, unless it's a special occasion. But like if it's not like, so if I would buy it, if I wouldn't buy it at 40, I wouldn't buy it at 20. Like it's not like, oh, it's not that good, but it's only $20. Therefore I'm going to get it. Cause I only want good stuff. It's not you know what I mean? Like alcohol is bad for you. So I only want it if it's really good.
All right. So the question I guess becomes if this, were some amount of money,
would you buy
this
bottle?
Is it good enough for you to purchase it?
Yeah,
as
I don't
long as it's not
$100. I don't think I care enough about it. Because the question for me when it's going to, like, I'm going to buy a bottle is, if there are people over, am I like, hey, you got to try this thing? And this is not that. Like, if someone were like, hey, do you want a glass of that at a bar? Sure.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. I'm a fan. But I'm not like, hey, I got this thing you got to try.
Okay.
And so it probably doesn't show up on my bar. Because you guys have seen my bar. It's pretty full. And I don't really drink it by myself.
Yeah.
So that's really my criteria.
Okay.
And it fails.
It's a nice looking bar.
Would you buy it, Chris?
Just saw it for the first time. I guess I kind of agree with you, Billy. But not because it's bad. Just because it's not striking. I feel like with each episode, there's at least one, and sometimes two or three, that I'm like, wow, I've never had anything like that before. Yeah. Maybe we've just been lucky. I don't know. But that tends to be my favorite experience, is when I taste something and I'm like, wow, that is unique and interesting, and I've never... And this, like I said, it totally reminds me of something.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what, but yeah, that's... So I don't hate it.
Yeah. I don't think Billy's saying he hates it either.
No, right. It's good. I would totally drink it at a bar. I'd be happy to. Yeah. I just don't need a whole bottle of it.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm basically the same. I think my only difference would be, I think this is a good expression of what it is.
Yeah. So
that's my criteria. Mm. Is like, maybe if someone wanted to know the ideal version of this, like this is like the quintessential fill in the blank. Like,
and y'all are saying Irish whiskey, or at least yeah, Billy is.
Yeah. I feel pretty
like
confident.
If we're certain this is Irish, then it's like, if I wanted to show someone, this is like a really well done Irish. Like if they've only ever had Jameson, I'd be like, no, you need to try this.
Hmm. God, I hope it's Jameson.
That'd be great. That'd Maybe be that's what it reminds me of so strongly. I don't know. Yeah. I've had my share of Jameson.
Yeah. It is very relatable. It's like one of those where you're like, I've had this, or you feel like you've had this before.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
I do think it tastes a little bit better than Jameson, though.
Yeah,
I
feel like yeah, it's not true. As harsh,
yes.
For
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, definitely not as much of a bite.
I always think of Irish whiskeys as like the... like Hefeweizens of beer, or
oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Hmm.
There's like, you know, that kind of wheat flavor to them, and they're not as big and heavy, but they're still interesting. Like if you have like a good, you know, like a German Hefeweizen or like something in that genre,
yeah.
That's what I always think of them as. Like it's like a day drinking outside, like we are in the courtyard yeah. whiskey. Yeah. It's perfect
kinda,
for right now.
Kind of great. You guys want to try another one?
Yeah, it's I really want to try another one.
All right, let's do it.
Brilliant.
This is mine.
Holy shit.
What Whoa. Did you
it's
do?
Candied popcorn.
What did you do?
It's literally just caramel yeah, corn.
It is caramel. It's caramel.
That's flavored.
It's like, because it's not oh, just man. Like caramel corn in that like it smells like caramel. It's like it literally has that popcorn yeah. smell yeah. to it.
It really does.
That's like, it really to does. Me, it's like maple-y.
Wait, I want
to
figure out.
This is like Eggo waffles.
Yes, exactly.
Oh.
Yeah, like even the actual waffle part, like yeah.
Yeah. Like literally a caramel apple.
Oh,
like,
that's so interesting.
But I yeah, it's popcorn. It just smells like popcorn.
Oh, it even tastes like maple syrup. I don't know if I want to finish that.
I was going to say maybe we should have done this one last.
Oh my god.
It is sweet.
Are we sure that's not actual maple syrup?
I think it's maple
that
syrup.
Is awful.
Jesus.
Awful. It is awful caramel popcorn awfulness.
I think it's giving caramel popcorn a bad name. Like,
oh yeah,
it's, like, it's almost like if you took a bunch of like caramel jelly beans and like melted
Jesus.
Them down.
Yes
that's that. What it is. It's the caramel, or it's the like caramel popcorn jelly beans, yeah. jelly yeah. belly.
It's like the artificial caramel flavor.
Yes.
Oh, that
yes.
is awful. I'm gonna bring us all some water.
It, yes, please.
That legitimately. Tastes like syrup.
Yeah,
like,
it does. It like
it looks like it too.
It tastes like pouring syrup into a glass and yep. just like taking Man. A gulp of it.
Yeah, like if you were to like just boil this down and like all the alcohol would be gone, you just put on waffles. Like
you could
just
oh, that is very strong.
Oh, it's not. Oh, what have you done?
Oof.
I don't.
So am I allowed to reveal?
No, well, wait. I mean, obviously, we know what it is. It's, okay. I mean, I don't know if I've ever had it, but it's like some sort of heavily maple flavored something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always think with things like this, though,
oh
it's
my
like,
gosh.
You know,
Whew.
I imagine this wasn't just some, you know, plastic handle bottle of whiskey. It was like, this is obviously like an established
yeah.
whiskey.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And it exists in the market.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it was probably sold in a relatively well-off retail
yeah.
space that was fighting other bottles for shelf space alone.
Yeah. Right.
So, like, clearly there's a market and an appetite for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's a consumer out there that is looking for this when they go to the store. And I wonder who that person is.
I don't know what context. Like, we've talked about context a fair amount in this podcast in terms of, like, where do you want to be when you're drinking this and what do you want to be doing? And, like, I don't know what...
Jack, you told me this one. Whiskey has to be a certain proof to be whiskey, right?
Yeah.
That is 40. Not.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
It cannot be.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, it's like...
still unsparkling. Oh.
What did you... You brought... You had something at the Christmas party that was peanut butter. What chocolate. Was it? Chocolate.
Oh, yeah, I remember chocolate that.
And that was actually pretty good.
Huh. That was great.
Interesting. Yeah, I agree. Like, there's... You can't even, like, there's almost no alcohol flavor at all, I would say.
God, it is awful.
Oh, it's just like, yeah, just like straight syrup.
It's just movie popcorn.
Yeah.
Like artificial movie popcorn. I'm not even sure it has caramel in it. Just
I'm so
movie
excited
popcorn.
To tell you guys what it is at the end, at whenever the reveal comes.
I don't know why I went back. It's so bad.
I can't. Yeah, I just to smell it is to taste it. Like there is.
It's true.
There is no distinction between the smell and
except
the taste on that.
It is. I was expecting it to be sweet. It's about 100 times sweeter than I was expecting it to be.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't even... I'm sure this is a bourbon, or it was a bourbon at one point. And whatever they did to it, it just, like, makes it unpalatable.
I would love to know.
Man. I would love to know. Chris, I thought we might be friends, too.
Yeah, that is rough, man.
After this.
I don't know.
All right, number three. Yeah. And I rinse out my glass.
I am done with that.
That is atrocious. Yeah, I have not had this. So it could be good or it could be bad. But it will be interesting. That I am very sure of.
Sure. How do you get the taste out of your mouth of the previous...
I don't know if I can taste anything again.
God.
Is there any of this left? Maybe this will help.
Yeah, the carbonated's a little...
Oh, the seltzer? All
right.
This smells almost like nothing after that last experience.
This is much more like normal.
Yes.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I still get that stupid maple.
I would say we haven't been naming these, but the second one is Go Fuck Yourself, Chris.
Yeah, I forgot to name the first one. Probably Jameson.
Probably Jameson.
The bird thinks it's hilarious.
Interesting.
Man, by comparison, anything like from...
I know.
Wow.
Like, my glass is sticky.
That,
like, builds on itself, too.
Yeah,
like.
That is.
It's got a nice bite.
It's got a great bite.
I'm happy with that.
This is actually quite nice. I'm going to go bourbon.
I think I can...
Wow.
Yeah, well, some of your thoughts? I don't want to.
I don't even know what to say about it. Like we were saying before, I love whiskeys where I'm like, wow, I've never had that before. I've definitely never had this before. It's super interesting.
Mm. Yeah.
I think I can smell one of the reasons that I picked it. Mm. On the nose.
And there's just something really, really unique about it, flavor wise.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it might be a rye.
I was going to say, I'm always getting like monkey shoulder type vibes from this.
Oh, interesting. Like a blended.
Yeah.
Huh.
I will say it is, there's a lot of wood in that.
Yeah.
Like a lot of wood. I have thoughts. I have so many thoughts on this.
Same.
But I'm afraid that they're all going to, like, disclose things that I know about it.
Right now.
I mean, I just, like, I feel like I'm feeling like there's one very forward flavor that's pretty distinct that I don't know that I've ever had in a whiskey before, but I can't put my finger on what it is.
I'm happy to have this one in my bar.
Mm.
Yeah?
Yeah, this is interesting.
The color is amazing.
It is.
Yeah, it's so dark.
It is really dark.
Beautiful gold. It's interesting when you contrast it with the color of the first one we had, which is very light, bright, you know?
Again, I think it's like a lot of wood, right?
Yeah, it's got
to
be.
Like a whole lot of wood to get that color.
Probably small. Well, if it's not old, it's small barrels, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
It's not very sweet.
No.
So I don't know if anyone will agree with me, and this may or may not be based on personal knowledge because I didn't do a ton of on this, and so I'm just going to keep it in the dark. It tastes oaky enough to be like an old whiskey, but it still has kind of the like intensity of a young whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Yeah.
And I think I know what the like age statement is on it. But it very much tastes like it's has like like partly old, but then still has that kind of like newness to it.
Huh. Yeah, because the bite at first I was like, is that barrel bite? Is that high alcohol bite? Or is that new whiskey bite? And I think it might be new whiskey bite, like new make bite. You know what I mean? Like not old.
It's fairly hot, though.
I was going to say, I feel like even on the nose, I got a lot of alcohol.
Yeah.
Like right on the nose.
I feel like on the taste, it's a little hard to get because there's so much flavor to it.
Yeah.
That the alcohol doesn't come through and like burn at the end. But I can tell on the nose that there's like a lot of booze in that.
Yeah.
There's like almost like a cherry in the middle.
Yeah. I'm stoked,
it's like
man.
A cherry wrapped in wood.
A wooden cherry.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is something kind of like tangy to it.
Yeah.
Kind of like tangy sour a little bit.
I was thinking about putting a drop of water, but then I was like, oh, but I'm going to put a drop of carbonated water.
Yeah.
It actually probably would work a little bit. Isn't that what they use in old fashions? They use like a splash of soda.
Yeah.
Oops, I just put so much water.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just ruin that.
Well, you ruined it.
It's interesting.
Wow, that flavor. Sorry, Ram.
No, go ahead.
That flavor is intense. When you like give it a little water.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some heat that's like drowning out some flavor on that.
No, it's delicious.
It's really good.
Small drops, Jack.
I'll try.
Small drops,
Jack. So Jack is adding water.
That's it. You did the same thing I did.
Yeah, well, there's no eyedropper in here.
No.
I have to say, it's interesting drinking whiskey in this type of environment.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have hosted an episode outdoors like this before, but like normally, at least in my time, like when I drink whiskey, it's like after dinner at night.
Yep.
Maybe around my fireplace or something.
Yep.
Like that's kind of the vibes. Whereas like sunny, bright outdoors, normally like I'm drinking something else, but I'm like quite liking drinking whiskey right now.
Yeah. It works. I mean, I do think like fireplace, chest set,
yes.
Dark, fruity mood.
Yeah.
This
Velvet
is like
blazer.
Ultimate beach day in a courtyard surrounded by plants and sunshine.
Yeah.
People wandering through. It is not the solitude of like hyper-masculinity that I'm sure.
Yeah. Yep.
It's not a hunting cabin.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It does seem kind of antithetical to the whole whiskey drinking thing, but it fits really well for some reason.
Yeah.
It especially with this one in particular, I would say.
Yeah.
And I'm not really sure why. So I went through mine pretty quick. Like which is always kind of a sign to me, like, that either, most of the time it's a sign that I'm like, oh, that's really interesting. I want to know more about this whiskey.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's a really interesting flavor. I want to taste it again and figure out what's going on behind it.
Yeah.
Super interesting. I'm so stumped. Like I'm having trouble even coming up with words.
So the question
that describe it.
Would you buy this bottle?
I would buy this bottle.
I'd buy this bottle.
I love it. It's super unique tasting. I have no idea what it is, but I totally would.
I own this bottle.
I will come over and drink this bottle.
Yes.
Come to me. We will drink this bottle.
Excellent.
Yeah, man, I was very excited about this going into the podcast for nothing to do with its taste. And now I am just as excited about it for how it tastes.
Nice.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
So mine was actually not an Irish whiskey.
Ooh.
Mine is a Scotch.
No, it's not.
It is a Old Putney.
What? Wow. It has no... like smoke to it at all.
No.
Yeah, it's true. I agree.
It's a single
malt
Highland. And she said it's right on the ocean. So you get a little bit of the ocean flair.
Yeah. Okay.
And she said this
salted spiciness, mineral salted spiciness, but delicate. That's good.
Yeah, like I'm happy I own it, but I don't know that, like, I think your criticism is valid that it's not like a very unique version of Highland Scotch.
Yeah.
Like, it's good.
It may be a unique version of Highland Scotch in how little it tastes like a typical Scotch.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I mean, my kind of like blunt, unsophisticated division of things in my mind, like, I never would have guessed this was a Scotch.
Reading small prints on that, it's aged in sherry casks.
Oh, interesting. Oh.
And also bourbon casks, but it's both, which I don't know how that works.
It's a pretty bottle, too.
Yeah, I like
it
their bottles.
It is very cool looking.
It's kind of got that top Putney. That looks like almost like a pot still like
yep.
thing.
The Navigator.
Yes, actually, it's a great call. That's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
What's that?
It looks like a pot still, like the top of it. Is kind of.
Yeah.
Definitely unique enough to stand out on shelf, but like, not super garish or anything like
that. Yeah, it's really pretty.
Yeah, very clean. It's interesting, too, because my first, and I think it's like an interesting part of doing this and doing it with like friends, too, is like when I first drank it, mm-hmm. and I was like, that does taste like a Scotch.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just because, like, on the way over here, Billy and I had earlier been texting about the Port Charlotte. And, that's kind of more of what I drink as of late.
Yeah.
And I thought that, but then we started talking about it, and I was like, actually, I don't know anymore. And
it's
interesting how that can flip,
it's,
you know, where
you've
got
instinct. It's totally part of it. Like, one of the episodes, it was the sherry one.
Oh, yeah.
I totally thought the first one was a bourbon, convinced the table.
Yep.
And it was a Scotch the whole time. But like,
yeah.
And then we retasted it and we're like, how the hell did we think this was a, like, there's no question that this is a Scotch.
Yeah.
But then, like, you could attribute to context or maybe someone, like, I was the first to say it.
Yeah.
But who knows? Like, it's just crazy.
That's crazy.
It's really interesting. I used to, when I was in business school, there was a wine club, of course.
Yes.
A very well attended club. And in March, they would do what we call, like, Wine March Madness.
Okay.
And so they would break up into brackets by varietal. So you'd have like a Pinot Noir bracket, like a Cabernet Sauvignon bracket.
Oh, that's cool.
Then you do like a Malbec and something else. And they'd set like a price cap. So you'd go buy a bottle under 30. And then you would blind all of them just like we did here.
Yeah.
And then you wouldn't know, if you brought a Syrah, say, you'd start in the Syrah group, but you wouldn't know which one is yours.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's interesting because then you vote, obviously, head-to-head
until
you get to the bracket, same as you would March Madness, and then you break out of the varietals, and everybody starts playing until you crown, like, the number one bottle. And the best part of it, I've told Billy a story before, but the best part is that you'd sign up in a team, and you were responsible for bringing three bottles.
Okay.
Two were used during the competition, and one was put into the winner's pool.
Okay.
So whoever had the winning bottle of wine got one of each one that everybody
brought. Cool.
So it was a cool way of, like, learning. But anyways, the point of the story was that while there was a price ceiling, there was no price floor.
Okay.
So one year, my friend and I decided to test the old theory of, like, expensive wines taste as good as good wines. So we went to Rite Aid. Course. And we found their like private label bottle of wine that like retailed for I think $4.99.
Nice.
And but it was like a Cabernet Sauvignon, so like it qualified.
Yeah.
And we entered it in the tournament and it actually advanced like two rounds.
Oh wow.
It didn't win by any means. It definitely got kicked out eventually, but it advanced a couple rounds, which is pretty amazing because it was competing against other $20-$30 bottles of wine.
Yeah, so. That's great.
But it's I think it goes back to your point about like the group dynamic once people start talking about it and how much does that influence people's perceptions of it.
Yeah, it's fascinating how much the people you're drinking with affect what you're drinking.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
That's especially when they bring shit whiskey.
That's one of my favorite episodes of the show, that sherry cask one, for that reason.
Because we were like...
just because of how surprised
everyone is. We screwed ourselves into a knot.
That's great. That's great.
Ryan, did I tell you about this? Matt and Jack and I did the sherry cask thing.
Yeah,
we couldn't.
About it.
Ugh.
Yeah.
It's a disaster piece.
It's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. All right, guys. I know you're dying to know.
I'm dying to know.
I have to know so I can avoid it.
Yes.
Although I could always just tell by the smell.
Well, we just had...
Screw top. It's got a screw top.
Has a screw top. It is Screwball peanut butter whiskey.
Oh. Wow.
Is it actually a whiskey?
It says whiskey.
Can I see it?
It is. It says it's 35% proof.
No. Oh, so it's 35.
Yep.
Okay, that makes sense.
Oh, it is. That is a train wreck of a disaster.
It's intense.
On top of natural flavors, it also has caramel color. So it's not even this color.
Also, like,
grain alcohol.
So the
it says contains peanuts on it.
It doesn't taste like peanuts to me. Does it taste like peanuts?
I didn't get that at all.
I got all maple.
It's strange because it's like uber sweet and awful.
I've definitely seen it on the shelf.
There you go.
The label's a little memorable. Yeah.
Well, you're welcome. Wow.
I commend you for that move, even though that was fucking awful. Pardon my cursing on the podcast. It's just one of those applicable. Yeah. That's what you save. That's why you don't curse, is that so you have the curse words available to describe things like that.
That's true. That's a good point.
We also, I guess, just talked a little bit about the last bottle. This one, not as nice.
No. Screw top.
Screw top.
Not as awesome looking.
Kind of simple.
They did emboss their name on the side.
Yes.
They did. It almost looks like a wine label. Almost.
Yeah, it really does.
Also, it says nothing. Like, there's no little...
Oh, I should have grabbed my...
There's no little, like, description bottle. Of what they up there? Did.
Yeah, I should go grab my bottle.
Go get it.
All right. Guys, I'll be back.
That's a fun part. I mean, it's all part of the experience, you know?
Yeah.
I still don't know what to say about this third one. Like,
yeah, it's got something that keeps drawing me back to it.
Yeah,
like it's magnetic.
I feel like it's also like evolved too. Like
mm-hmm. Same.
You know, at first it started almost like drier to me, and now I'm getting more sweet.
I agree with that.
Drinking more,
it tastes more like bourbon now to me.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Especially with the burn ends, whatever this in between stage.
Because we just had brisket, I think is the reason.
Well, let's hear some guesses.
I think it's a bourbon. I have no idea what. Like, I don't know how close I could get. I would say it's probably not that old, like maybe 4 to 6 years. But it's like, it's a distillery that's doing interesting things. So like they probably aged it in small barrels or did something to like get that color on it. And maybe they finished it in something cool. I don't know.
Yeah. I think I agree with you. I think initially I would have said it was like, I think I called out Monkey Shoulder earlier, mm-hmm. but now as I've drank more of it, and I don't know if maybe the brisket has helped with that, but I'm definitely getting more bourbon than it was before.
Yeah.
But I like what you said about like probably a small producer, someone who's doing more niche type stuff.
Yeah.
Because it definitely is different. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's definitely different than your kind of straight down the middle of the plate bourbons.
Yeah. And so I of course have no clue. All right.
I'm gonna tell you when I have a microphone because I don't want that to get lost, but I will tell you it has cool features to it. Like it is not just a straight anything.
Interesting. Yeah, it's delicious. It's it's clearly unique, but it's not unique in like a what the hell am I drinking type way.
It also
tastes very classic in some ways.
Yeah.
It's a good word.
It's really good.
It is really good.
It is really good.
And maybe that's the crossover between our like yours is like I want to share this with you because I want you to try this, and mine is sort of like I do want people to have a baseline.
Yeah.
And I think this maybe crosses both, ticks both boxes. Where,
that's right.
Like, this is a baseline. I don't know what it is, but there's something there that's like classic and like quintessential in some ways.
Yeah.
But it is something I want other people to try.
Yeah. I think this is like the bourbon that you bring to someone who's a bourbon lover that like is like a drinker of like Blanton's. You know what I mean? Someone who's been drinking Blanton's for years and like it's like classic old fashioned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You bring this over to like show them that like you know your chops, right?
Yeah.
You know what you're talking about.
This brings you respect.
Yes, exactly.
Good gift bottle.
Yeah.
How do you approach whiskey versus approaching wine? Are there differences?
Man. That's interesting. I feel like with whiskey in my mind, it's like the geographics help contain the world of flavor of each much better than they do in wine. So like in Italy, for example, there's like 1,000 different grape varietals alone, I think.
Uh-huh.
Whereas like you can, if someone's like says like picture a Highland Scotch, like you can do that pretty easily, or picture an Islay Scotch, picture a Kentucky bourbon, like that, like I think the geographies do a much better job of like accurately and quickly describing the world of flavor.
Sure.
And whiskey,
whereas in wine, it's like, it gets much more complex. You know what I mean? And you have the, you know, they talk about, you know, in wine, there's like primary, secondary, and tertiary levels of flavor. So like primary comes from the fruit alone.
Yeah.
Right. So what does the grape give you? Secondary is, you know, time. What is, you know, how long you leave it in the barrel for?
Okay.
Yeah. What are you doing to it? As far as like from a time perspective. And then the third, you know, is what the winemaker can do. So like, you know, what is the type of wood in the barrel that they're choosing? What are those decisions that they're making that are impacting the flavors too? So like, so that's kind of like how flavor can be impacted in the world of wine. And I think some of that is very parallel to whiskey as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've never heard it described as three like that. And I think that makes a lot of sense. Like that actually helps me understand a little bit better. Because at first, it's like the grain, right? In whiskey, it's like, what grain did you use? Right. Is this corn? Is this wheat? Is like, what is the thing?
The primary ingredient.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then the time in the barrel. And like this third one, the reason I say small barrels is because I think the combination of whether that's high proof or new age or, you know, young, but it has that color that gives me that like clue that it's like probably that thing. But it's like, it's really interesting. And then like I think their decisions, their small decisions is what makes this so unique.
Right.
Their small decisions are like really spot on. Like they did a great job.
Let's talk context. Where are you going to drink this whiskey, Jack? This bourbon-esque whiskey.
I want to drink this with Jason Vandenbroek from a previous episode. And I want to be in a cabin.
Yeah.
I think if I went to Big Bear now, it could still be cold. Right?
Yeah.
It's certainly possible.
Possible it'll be cold.
Yeah.
So, like, I'd go there.
It's nice.
Could think about the potential of skiing. I don't know if I will, but I'll at least consider it.
Après ski.
Yeah.
That's great. This does seem like a kind of a warm you up whiskey.
Yeah.
You know? Contrary to our nice, bright, sunny day outside.
Yep.
Yeah.
Although it works today as well.
It's delicious. So, I mean, anytime.
I would love to be drinking this in like Kentucky old plantation home, seersucker jacket on, sitting out rocking chair on a porch.
Yeah.
Sun's about to set.
Yeah.
That kind of mood.
Oh, that's great.
Sun setting. Nice touch there.
I like it.
All right. So.
The big reveal.
The big reveal. We have the cast of Amontillado.
Oh. The broken barrel.
So,
wow.
There are a number of things about this that I thought made it perfect for this podcast. The first is that it is 12-year-old Indiana bourbon.
Oh, okay.
Indiana.
Huh. Yep. Which is like a ton of bourbon, or not bourbon, but whiskey comes from Indiana because it's
MGP.
Yep. MGP.
Wait, what does that mean? What's MGP?
MGP supplies a lot of the new. So, like, when people say their whiskey is sourced, it's often sourced from NGP.
Like, 70% of all whiskey. Yeah. It's some massive, massive number comes from Indiana. But it's not just 12-year-old whiskey from Indiana. It is 5-year-old Kentucky corn whiskey.
Oh.
Wow.
And I think you can get the corn on the nose.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
Because corn whiskey has to be 70% corn.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's got a high... So, it's a blend of two?
Yep.
Oh, that's interesting.
Wow.
That is super interesting.
And while it is not aged in Amontillado casks, which is sherry.
Oh, yeah.
Right. It is aged with Amontillado cask staves. So it's broken barrel because instead of putting the whiskey in barrels, they put the barrels in the whiskey.
And that's the small decision.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep. Absolutely.
It is a Los Angeles distillery. Oh. It used to be called Infused Spirits, but this just came out in September. And man, is it good. And it's also 110 proof, which is, so it is very hot.
It's hot. Yeah.
But the reason that I really picked it, like before I even read anything on the bottle, is that the story, the cask of Amontillado is, an Edgar Allan Poe story where a man is murdered. He's lured to his murder
by his hubris over his discerning palate of alcohol.
Amazing. Amazing.
That sounds like someone I know.
Yes.
I think we're all showing up to that party.
Basically, the story is told from the perspective of the man who wants to kill him. And they're at a big party at this guy's manor. And he comes up to him and he says, "Hey, I've got this great cask of Amontillado downstairs in my cellar. It's fantastic. Do you know where so-and-so is? He has really discerning taste. I'd like him to try it." Mm-hmm. And the guy says, no, I have the best taste. He wouldn't know Amontillado from sherry," which is amazing because Amontillado is sherry. And the guy goes, "Okay, fine. Then you can come." And so they go down into the cellars beneath this guy's manor, and he starts giving him whiskey as they're walking, or not whiskey, giving him wine as they're walking through the halls, trying to keep him drunk enough to kill him. And so first he gives him like a couple different bottles that are like really expensive, and the guy's like swill and like downs it in one pour. And they finally get to the room, and he just kind of kicks him in the room and locks the door, and the guy is like basically buried alive.
Oh gosh.
Wow.
And so yeah, it's a dark
that makes
story.
The whiskey even better.
And the bottle has lines from it, which is, "Amontillado, I have my doubts. Lying dormant in a crypt, the thought never to get out."
Amazing.
Wow.
It is described as rare bath whiskey, crossed wine so bold, a thousand injuries, dark tales to be told.
Oh my gosh.
Nice. Wow.
That's amazing.
It's a cool bottle.
I love it.
Jack, will you pour me
it's some beautiful.
More? And if you try and slip in that awful, awfulness, I will know, because it smells
it peanut be. Butter whiskey.
It won't be difficult to tell.
Yeah, that was awful. Wild. And then some.
I'm going to leave it for you, Billy, just so every once in a while.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You can't even slip that in on somebody unsuspecting.
No, it's impossible. It's impossible.
You have to neutralize the smell.
Wait, are you saying they're not allowed to call this whiskey because it's not 40%?
I mean, they're clearly allowed.
And why are they?
I don't know, because who's enforcing these rules?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Apparently the bourbon police are out there and, you know.
I think if they tried to call it bourbon, they would get stopped.
Yeah.
But the fact that they call it whiskey, mm-hmm. like it's a much more general name.
It's sure. not whiskey, yeah. It's whiskey drink.
Yeah.
Whiskey drink.
It's whiskey it's really beverage. What it is. It's whiskey drink.
It's a whiskey flavored beverage. Jack, could I have just a spot more of the first? I'm very curious.
Yeah.
Now that I know it's a scotch. Because it definitely had me fooled.
If I were more interested in getting hammered, I would try that side by side with Green Spot. And
yeah, that'd be interesting to see.
Green Spot's great.
Green Spot is great. I want to try a Red Spot, but I have not had the chance yet.
I think, yeah, it's out there now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. This tastes way more like scotch to me now that I know. Like, it's so bizarre how, like, just knowing going into it just completely changes your perception
totally.
Of it.
It means so much.
Yeah. Like, now that I know, I'm like, oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah,
I never would have guessed before. It's very strange.
I knew, but I could hear all of you guys saying Irish, and it did make sense to me. Like
yeah.
it did.
Yeah,
like it tracked what you were tasting, and I could sort of parse out how that made sense.
That's twice now that my first glass has been scotch, and I've missed it.
Yeah.
Although I did go back and listen to that episode,
yeah.
and it was you that got it wrong first, and put.
The truth comes out.
Yes.
I mean, I think Matt was right. Matt said it was the five spice from the Chinese food we had before.
Yeah. Hmm.
That's got to be the problem. It clearly wasn't my fault.
Anybody's fault but mine.
Yep.
No, it's just bizarre. Like, it totally tastes like a scotch to me now. It's very strange.
It's still not a strong scotch, though.
No,
like,
it's
no.
not.
Yeah.
But there is, I can taste a little bit of smoke on it now, but I was looking for it before.
I don't think there's smoke in there.
There's a little bit of, I don't know, something that makes me think it's scotch. A little bit of scotch flavor.
Right. The scotch flavor.
Yeah, there is, for sure.
It's the scotch thing.
It's the butterscotch, just like the screwball.
I always call it brine, but I'm afraid to call it that now because I don't exactly know what I mean by that. But it's whatever that scotchy flavor is.
Yeah. It's the barley, probably.
It's different than smoke, though.
Yeah.
It's like kind of that, like, slightly bitter, savory taste.
Yeah. I think the savory is the thing.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get savory in bourbon.
Yeah. Like,
it goes well with savory.
Yep.
As evidenced by the brisket and the cask of Montiato, whatever.
Billy, as always, well chosen, man.
Yeah.
Very thoughtful. You did well. And very cool.
Well done.
I love it.
I wish we could say that all of them were great, but two out of three of them were great, and one of them was something. But
one of them was pure, horrible, horrible thing.
Yes.
The experience was great.
There's got to be all so us, much.
In unanimity.
Yes.
We all said no.
Sometimes it's nice to have so something to hate.
Yeah, you know? It is.
There's got to be so much sugar in this. Like, I can't even imagine.
Like,
I can't even imagine how much sugar must be in this thing. It's a simple syrup, basically.
It is.
It's crazy.
That's
Oh, they also, at Wade's Wines, were talking about how they age their cocktails, which I gather means everything except for the bitters. So, like, you mix a cocktail in large...
You've done aged cocktails.
And then just age it as a cocktail?
Yeah, you do. You put everything in, unless you have ingredients that would go bad.
Never heard of that before.
Yeah.
He said you don't do the bitters, but, like, literally everything else you would put in there.
I've done the bitters. It's nice. Instead of getting, like, multiple flavors, everything kind of combines. Mm-hmm. I have aged cocktails sitting in the apartment right now.
Huh.
Some of which are, like, now probably a year and a half old. They're sitting in glass, so they're not really changing other than like melding flavor a little bit.
Interesting.
Pre-making cocktails is like very, very easy, and they pour and they go very nicely.
That's great.
Because I think Paul was saying he, for his wedding, barrel aged some cocktails.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And I don't remember if it was Bullet or whatever, and then some bourbon, and then just like a couple of bottles of vermouth into a small barrel.
Yeah.
Like a couple months before the wedding.
Huh. That's great. That's awesome.
Yeah.
We're going to have to do a show there sometime.
Yeah. I want to see this place now.
It's a beautiful spot, despite the fact that they sell us.
Everybody's got to make a living.
Well, now we just pulled things and we're just drinking. So
now there's just a ton of whiskey on the table.
Is it time to call it?
I think Chris? That might be it. Yeah. So this is a very experimental episode. Are we doing parting shots? Are we just saying goodbye?
Oh, yeah.
Parting glass.
It changes every time. That's the beauty of hosting.
I get it wrong every single time.
A podcast with Chris is there's no consistency.
I blame the peanut butter.
I think we should name them real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, this is Go Fuck Myself. What are the other two? I don't think you could get better than the cask of
Montiato?
Montiato. How do you get better than that? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a pretty great name.
Yeah. All right. I think that may just be the name then. Cool.
Well,
thank you guys for letting me crash.
Of course, man.
Yeah. I'm glad you showed up.
It was super cool. All right. This has been Three Blind Drinks, kind of.
Kind of.
We'll see what the hell happens with it.
All right. Drink slowly and get to know each other.
Bye, everybody.